Good morning, Delaware. Driving in this morning kind of reminded me of that old song, A Foggy Day in Delaware.
I don't know that one.
Oh, that's
I would love for you to sing more, but no, I'm afraid the FCC might get us. No.
or ASCAP.
Yeah.
Using a song. So anyway, good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, George.
We got Gage on the console. Good morning, Gage.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday.
And we are going to have as our guest today the Turtle Lady. Nancy Lockhart will be on the phone, which means I won't have to be face-to-face with Creamsicle, her snake.
I am so sad about that. I mean, I'm happy that Nancy's joining us, but I'm sad that Creamsicle's not here in person.
Hi, Nancy. Are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. Good morning, everyone. How
Yay.
Are you?
It's great to have you on the phone. Thank you for joining us this morning. And how is the menagerie?
Well, they're all, I mean, as you can see, they're all just sitting here with me, just waiting to talk to you. Thank you for laughing, right? they have faces for radio, that's for sure.
That's why I'm here and not on television, Nancy. I know that feeling.
I know.
So anyway.
Did you find the snake that I left up there for you?
Actually, we are going to talk about that in the second half of the show, because for the first time in 22 years, we did find snakes in our yard, and I want to talk to you about that.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. You handled it really well.
The house is for sale.
Or burned to the ground, one or the other.
I love it. You guys are funny. I love it.
She thinks I'm kidding. Anyway. So, Nicole, what have you been reading, listening to, binging on? What's up?
I am a big fan of all Saturday Night Live cast members, mm-hmm. past, present, soon to come. I love following them after they leave the show to see what they go and work on. And I was very excited when I was introduced to Sweet Tooth, which is a new show that just debuted on Netflix. And it features, in the very first episode, there's a whole lot of Will Forte. He's not so much in the rest of the series, but he's a lot in the very first episode. The concept is that it's a post-apocalyptic world. There was, go figure, a virus that wiped out a whole lot of people. As the people were wiped out, there were these new, I will call them children, being born, but they aren't exactly childlike. They are half children, half animal, and it's not all the same animal. Some are, one might be a pig, one might be half goat, one might be half deer, one might be half giraffe, who knows, you know? And so these hybrid children are being born, and the virus that wiped out, you know, half of humanity seems to be tied in with the children, but no one can really understand why or how. And so, however, this sounds very dark. It's actually a very whimsical show. The way that it is filmed, there's a lot of natural light. There's a lot of beautiful kind of field and prairie shots. The main boy who it focuses on, his name is Gus, and he is 9 years old. Well, he's, I think, 7 years old in the series. And he's the son of the Will Forte character who I mentioned earlier. We see them first kind of escaping from, you know, a more urban setting, going into the woods. They're going into Yellowstone National Park, and he's kind of setting up camp far away from people. You sense that there's probably some danger for these children, and so he's trying to protect him. And the boy, basically, like any good semi-children's tale, becomes estranged from his father, separated from his father, and then has to go figure out the world on his own, like the beginning of any good children's story.
Oh, yes.
And I was curious because so many good adaptations have been made from a book or from a comic or from an earlier movie that wasn't as good. And this one is based on a graphic novel.
Okay.
So I did some research. It is a graphic novel called Sweet Tooth by Jeff Lemire. Or Lee Meyer, probably Lemire, L-E-M-I-R-E. And the graphic novel is much darker, much, much, much darker. It's made not only, you can check it out on Hoopla, which is wonderful. So you can use your 6 free downloads. You can get it right now. And you can go through, you know, book one has episodes kind of 4 through 6 or 1 through 6 in it. Book two kind of continues on with the story. It's full color. It's gorgeous illustrations. It is a different take on how Netflix took it. So it's much darker, much more ominous. There's like much more showing of death in it than there is in the actual series. Even the boy himself doesn't seem as childlike. He seems more grown in the series. He seems more boy-like, just mm-hmm. kind of endearing, no pun intended, as our little half deer. There is also a person who comes along with him along his journey, and the person in the book is very dark, very unlikable. The person in the series grows on you, becomes more likable. So it's good. Both are good in mm-hmm. their separate ways. I don't think that they can be compared. I see how one adaptation was taken from the other.
Right.
But if you're curious just to like where this backstory came from or how people's minds work whenever they whenever they read a graphic novel like this and they think I could make this into a, you know, a plucky little whimsical Netflix show, then you can have that experiment.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think that way. I would look at that and say, I can make this very dark.
Very dark, very dark, yes. Yeah, it's really cool. And where they could have, spent a lot of money, the series could have spent a lot of money on a lot of CGI, mm-hmm. Most of it is done with puppeteering and animatronics.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, and a lot of good makeup work.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, is there anything you've been reading or watching or listening to that you'd like to share?
I just finished The Midnight Library, and that's by Matt Haig.
I am still on the waiting list for that.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it's worth a read. And the way I do it is I read it and I listen to it at the same time, because uh-huh. lately I just, when I read, I start to fall asleep.
Yes, yes, I am right there.
So I enjoy listening at the same time I'm reading, but it's a really good book. My daughter actually recommended it and said everybody should read it. And I'm passing this book along because everybody should read it. It's a book about this girl. It starts out dark. She commits suicide. Well, before she can actually die, she has to go to this library and discuss all of her regrets in her life. And so she goes through each life that she may have lived. And she regrets that she didn't marry that guy or get that job or whatever it is. And then she lives that life until she discovers, I don't want this life at all. And then towards the end of it, it kind of goes to, it's a wonderful life type thing. These are the things that could have happened if you wouldn't have lived the life you would have. This kid would have ended up in jail, this kid. So, you know, it's kind of like, see what you did in your life. And she ends up saying, I really like this life. And it's a good book.
That sounds great.
That does sound good. I can't wait. I mean, I'd read a review of it and definitely wanted to read it. But so great. Well, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Do you happen to remember who wrote it?
Matt Haig, Haig.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
The international best-selling author of How to Stop Time. I just said that, obviously.
Well, the book I read this week is called When Women Invented Television. Now, it's got one of the longest subtitles I've ever seen. Untold story of the female powerhouses who pioneered the way we watch television today.
Interesting.
So, this is basically about four women who were involved in the very earliest days of commercial television, the impact that they had then and now, and their very different fates. And so, it starts with Hazel Scott. That name may be familiar to you if you are a fan of jazz. She was a jazz musician. She was the first African-American woman to host a primetime TV show. This was 21 years before Flip Wilson, who is usually considered the first primetime variety show host.
Yeah.
But she did this on the Dumont Network, and much of what happened on the Dumont Network is forgotten because none of the recordings of their shows from the late 40s through 1955 have survived. The only series that I'm aware of where a big number of the shows that were on there that survived is The Honeymooners. But many, many other series that were on there are just lost. So she was an activist both on screen and off. She once walked off a movie set because it was one of those Warner, I think it was Warner Brothers, and all of the African-American choristers were wearing these dirty aprons like they were, and she was just felt like it was demeaning, and she walked off the set until they fixed it.
Good for her.
So she headlined her own variety show that started in July of 1950, and then she got blacklisted because of some things that she had been involved in terms of civil rights. She lost the show. She fought the blacklist for several years, then moved to France. She was very popular in France with her cabaret and concert acts across Europe. She returned to the U.S. in the 1960s, and she continued to do some concerts and occasional TV gigs, did some recordings that were very popular, was about to get another TV show, and then passed away. This was in the early 1970s. The second woman they talk about is Erna Phillips. She basically created the daytime drama, better known as the soap opera.
Nice.
It's called the soap opera because Procter & Gamble was the first host, and that's why it became known as a soap opera.
I did not know that.
Yes, indeed. She created The Guiding Light on radio in 1937, started it on television in 1952, and it ran until 2009, 72 years. It's the longest-running scripted series in broadcast history.
What would you compare that to? I know people who are wrestling fans say WWE is one of the longest, or the World Wrestling.
Do they claim it's scripted?
They do. They do. Yeah, they do call themselves a soap opera.
But it hasn't been on as long. You know, WWE as a group only goes back into the 50s, into the 70s. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she also created As the World Turns. That ran for 54 years.
Yeah.
And she also created at least eight other serials. At one point, she was writing 2 million words a year.
That's too many.
For all of her scripts. She created all those things we consider the staples of soap operas today, the profusion of strong women characters, the long story arcs, the organ interludes, the pregnant pauses, all of those were her inventions. And her own life was something of a soap opera even. When she was 19, she was impregnated by a local doctor who then abandoned her, and she had a stillbirth.
A doctor?
Oh, a doctor, no less, yes. Oh. She never married, but she adopted two kids, including one young man who was extremely troubled. Anyway, she lost the rights to her first soap opera that she created for WGN in Chicago in 1929. She never made that mistake again. She held on to all of her intellectual property, so she was a very wealthy woman by the time she passed away. She had a great life overall. The third woman is Gertrude Berg. Now, some people have heard of her because of the show that she did for many years called she played a character named Molly Goldberg, and it was the Goldbergs that was on. That's not to be confused with the current TV show by the same name,
which is about the 80s.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. This one is about, it was started again on radio in 1929. It was about Jewish New York City tenement life, and it played to a national audience, and it was incredibly popular. It was one of the highest ranked radio shows for all those 17 years it was on radio. She wanted to bring it to television. The TV executives thought it would never work. So she finagled her way onto Milton Berle's show, which was very popular on television, one of the very first super hits, did the routines from the Goldbergs on his show as skits. They were so popular that she finally got the show. She recast it from radio because, again, they had some people who had good faces for radio. The guy she cast as her husband then ended up blacklisted. And the show just had a really rocky road for the next 4 years. It ended up in syndication. She never really recovered from what happened to her TV husband being blacklisted. He committed suicide in 1955, and it was really traumatic to her. So the last person that she talks about is the one everyone's heard of, Betty White.
We know her.
Betty White in the Guinness Book of Records, has the longest television career. She started in 1939, when there was almost no commercial television. She made an appearance in 1939, right out of high school. She was the first woman to host TV talk show in 1949, 5.5 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Woo!
Yeah, she and her co-host, it was mostly ad-lib. They had some music, they had some skits, they had guests, they had lots of other material to do because you have to fill a lot of time. Also, in 1952, she was the first woman to produce a television show called Life with Elizabeth, based on one of the skits she did on the daytime show. That was syndicated for 3 years. When that went off the air, she decided where she was going to go because she couldn't get another series, was into game shows. She was the first woman to host a game show in 1982. She was just, she's been into everything. And then she created two of the most iconic characters in the history of television. In Sue Ann Nivens from the Mary Tyler Moore Show as the Happy Homemaker, and Rose Nyland on the Golden Girls. I mean, what a career. Her most recent work was on Pixar's Toy Story 4. So, I mean, just it's a good book. It's a little repetitive. I think it does exaggerate some things. I don't know how you talk about the women who invented television without spending a lot of time on Lucille Ball, who is mentioned in passing several times, but it's not about her at all. So if you like the history of television, if you like women's studies, anything like that, you're going to like this book. It's the author's written a number of things about television and pop culture. And so it's called When Women Invented Television. It's by Jennifer Keeshan Armstrong, and it's on our new book rec because it just came out in March. So
we're
going to take a break here and come back and talk about how the Turtle Lady is going to do online programs for the library coming up very shortly. So hang on. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are here with Nancy Lockhart, the Turtle Lady, whose video is going to be available on our website, and it's a little different than some of our other events. So how are people going to get to watch it?
Yeah. Nancy has made us a wonderful video, and we will have it linked exclusively on the DelawareLibrary.org website. Go to that page, click on our events tab, and then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this coming week, you will be able to watch the video when you just click on the Turtle Lady event, and it's right there on YouTube.
Wow, that's going to be fun. But Nancy, I have to ask you this question because I didn't know who else to turn to, all right? I've lived in this house, seriously, for 22 years. For the first time, we had two really big garter snakes in our yard. And now my wife found them. She dealt with them. She's much more sane than I am.
Thank you.
And she handled those. Yes, thank you, Joyce. But I was wondering if it's tied to the cicadas, because we've had a lot of cicadas in our yards, too. And I'm just wondering if they came out to eat the cicadas.
Ooh.
That's interesting. I probably don't think that they would eat the cicadas. I would have to research that. I'm not sure, because garter snakes typically live closer to water, so I'm surprised that you have them in your yard, actually. Do you have a water source close?
No, we're probably a mile from the nearest river. We don't have any runs anymore
in
our neighborhood. Yeah.
No kidding. So, well, we have had a really wet spring.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. That is a good question. That is a very good question. I was going to talk to you today outside, but the cicada outside are deafening. We can't hear anything when we go out there.
Right.
We haven't heard much in our neighborhood, but we can see them. And we're watching the birds just chase them playing Quidditch with them.
Yes.
That's why my bird feeders have been empty.
Yeah.
So. When you come in, then you have to brush your clothes off. We have a mat bag.
Oh.
We come in, we've got four or five of them on us.
Oh. No.
For some reason, my daughter is absolutely in love with the cicadas. She just thinks it's a great story how they go underground and they come back after 17 years and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway. But
and they come back after they come back after 17 years, and at my house, they get fed the turtles. So
nice. That's the perfect segue.
That's a great segue.
I was going to say, what can we do? What can you do with the cicadas? Are any of your friends in your house enjoying them?
Yes. The water turtles now, when I walk out there, they're like, cicada. They're just sure that I'm going to feed them a bunch of cicadas. And really, they're all over. My daughter lives down in Cincinnati, and she had the big rush of them maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But now they're going all up into the trees and, you know, doing their thing, I guess. So it's been a crazy year for sure, right? Yeah,
it certainly has.
All this and cicadas too.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'll be around for the next batch of cicadas, but I'm sure enjoying this one just from a distance.
Oh,
so.
I am too. I think it's fascinating. So. I went to a wooded park the other day, and oh my goodness. I mean, it was just handfuls of them to pick up if you wanted to.
Yeah, free food.
And your turtles are probably just delighted. So.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Speaking of turtles, Nancy, how have the animals been? What's a fun fact that you can teach us today, maybe that we will learn in your video, or maybe that's even like not in your video? It's a WDLR exclusive.
Okay, well, I found out that a lot of my turtles were doing online shopping behind my back.
Oh, man.
Well, it seems like you should be able to find turtles in the Amazon.
Oh. I know.
Well, okay, that was a bad one. I apologize.
Stop it. I would go to the door and there would be extra juicy worms, you know, and I'm like, I didn't order these.
Are you sure Alexa didn't order them for you?
The turtles are speaking.
Alexa, the turtle, right?
The voice of the turtle.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, they spent a lot of time watching Shell-O-Vision. They just, there was so much. But, and I would think, okay, we have to get out of here. But you know what's difficult? I could never find masks that would fit them.
That is
if you
the
try
problem.
To put a mask on a snake, it's not going to happen.
No, no, no. They just want to slither that little tongue out, and it just knocks it right off. Yeah,
I know. Well, all kidding aside, I think that they actually enjoyed the time, you know, that they didn't have to get boxed up and taken out. You know,
it's been an extended vacation for them,
It really was. It really was. And once I got used to it, I enjoyed being out there with them and just hanging out. I mean, there were like 143 shows got canceled.
Oh,
it was difficult for everyone. Wow. Yeah, it was hard for everyone. But, you know, we're on the other side of it now. And what fun, what fun. I think we all learned a lot. I know I learned how important it is just to kind of be together and be healthy. And, yeah.
I tell you, when we started letting people back into the library again, it was like, it was just a revelation how much we'd missed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, the public can be a pain in the neck sometimes, but boy, when they're not there, you really do miss them.
You, it's like it's like your crazy uncle. You know,
exactly,
it's like he just makes everything a little bit more fun.
But you're glad when it goes home, right?
Exactly.
But you know, we'll be glad next year when we can have you back in the the flesh in the room, and even having you and Creamsicle here with me in the studio. I promise not to faint or anything.
I just truly miss the kids. At first it was like, okay, well, I don't have to go out. It's raining today. Okay, that's fine. But boy, after about a month of not seeing the kids, I really miss it. I like the interaction. Mm-hmm. You know, I like when I tell a stupid joke, I like to hear kids laugh. When I get out a snake, I like to hear them go, ooh.
Right.
You know, and I really miss that. I really did miss that. Well, so, it's been a year.
I know as kids watch your video this coming week, I'm sure that there will be lots of oohs. And, you know, maybe we can try and ask our parents, you know, like take a video of your kid as they're, you know, seeing Nancy's, seeing the turtle ladies, snakes and bearded dragons, I'm imagining, too.
And toads.
Yes.
When the toads jump out of the box, you know they jump out of the box every program. And I don't know how to keep them from doing that. Okay, listen. Oh my gosh, they do. I'm just like, don't jump out of the box, but they do it anyway.
They're so excited. Yeah.
If you had been locked in a box for a while, you'd want to jump out of it too.
I know.
It's not that hard to understand. Yeah. It's maybe hard to train
and
out
Kevin,
of them.
I know. And Kevin the chameleon. You know, a lot of my friends are on the video, and oh gosh, we had so much fun making it. My son, I'm fortunate. My son has a lot of really good camera equipment, and he knows how to edit and do all that stuff. So it was pretty easy, actually.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. Thanks to your son.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about out of time here on the show, but I do want to thank the Friends of the Library for their ongoing sponsorship of the Summer Reading Club for a number of the things that they do for us for that. Just mention real quickly, we have a Board of Trustees meeting coming up this Tuesday at 5 o'clock. That'll be available on our YouTube channel if you want to watch and see what we're up to. We'll be talking primarily about the new branch library, a few personnel changes. Personal policy changes, not people being moved or changing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got one other big program coming up this week. Do you want to talk about what Maker Studio is doing?
The 3D printer?
Yes.
How is a 3D printer like the Great Pyramids?
I'm not sure, but this is a good way to find out, is it that presentation?
Yes, it will be taking place on Tuesday, June 15th at 6 o'clock p.m. It is a pre-registered event, so because we will be working with you live and answering your questions live, it is virtual, but it is able for you to learn a little bit more about a 3D printer and what it has to do with the Great Pyramids.
That sounds great. And so as we noticed and noted earlier, the Turtle Ladies presentation will be available on the events page. No registration, pre-registration is required. Just go to our events page, click on it. It'll take you right to our YouTube channel and take you right to the video.
Yeah.
And it'll be available on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Then it comes off at the end of the day Friday. So make sure you get a chance to watch it then. Nancy Lockhart, thank you so much. Thank you for everything you do to help make kids and adults aware of how important reptiles and amphibians are in our world, and how they can be great fun if you treat them right. So,
well, thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate you guys a lot.
Well, but we couldn't do these things without great entertainer educators like you. So thanks very much. Thanks again to our friends for sponsoring it. Thank you, Gage, for your work behind the board.
Sure.
And, Nicole, as always, a pleasure working with you. And we will look forward to seeing you in the stacks.